then we understand that the media got the information that this was to start at 6:30. So we thought that this time would be a happy medium, and so we're going to begin. I'm going to call on Tucker Jones at this time to lead us in our prayer, and he'll read us a scripture.
Amen.
Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come to you in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. We come, Lord God, thanking you for another opportunity that we may gather here in your house and as your people. We thank you, Lord God, for giving us the opportunity to address the crisis in our community. Lord God, we ask that you put us on one accord, that we may be able to come out of this meeting with some type of solution that will eliminate some of the violence in our community. Yes. We know, Lord God, that some things are beyond our control, and nothing is beyond your control. And we just ask, Lord God, that we can pull all the resources together in such a way that you be glorified and our community be lifted up and made into a new community. Lord God, we thank these men and women that scattered here today. We know that they have come with a fresh insight. We know that they have come with a willing heart and a willing spirit to do the right thing and to address these issues in such a way that we all are lifted up and elevated and get a clearer understanding of the issues and the problems and the solutions that face us. We ask, Lord God, that you give us the courage, that you drive away the fear in our hearts that some of us may have in relationship to our own kids who carry guns. We ask, Lord God, that you just drive that fear away, because we know that you have not given us the power of fear, but the power of boldness. And we just ask, Lord God, that your peace and your love rule in this meeting. And in your Son, Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And the whole community say amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
We'll read from Ephesians 5, starting at verse 6. And I'm not quite sure exactly where we're going to stop at. But I'm going to stop somewhere before I get to the end of the chapter. And it starts off like this in today's English. He says, don't let anyone fool you with words that are not true. God gets very angry when people who don't obey him talk like that. So don't have anything to do with them. In the past, we were full of darkness, but now you are full of light in the Lord. So live like children who belong to the light. This light produces every kind of goodness and right living and truth. Try to learn what pleases the Lord. Have no part in the things that people in darkness do, which produces nothing good. Instead, tell everybody how wrong those things are. Actually, it is a shame to even talk about the things those people do in secret. But the light makes clear how wrong those things are. Yes, everything is made clear by light. And this is why we say, wake up! You who are asleep, rise from the dead and Christ will shine on you. So be very careful how you live. Live wisely, not like fools. I mean that you should use every opportunity you have for doing good, because these are evil times. And the whole room said amen.
Amen.
Let me first thank everyone for coming tonight. for this most important event. We're here tonight because all of us are tired of the non-stop violence in our community. I believe it was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. who said, all that it takes for wrong to prevail is for good people to stand back and do nothing. So we're here because we want to do something. Many of us live in this community and other areas of the city where violent crime is an all too common occurrence. And we don't live in the community, we go to church in the community like many of my parishioners. And we do business in this community. And as citizens of this city, we have the right to do it safely. It cannot stop if we continue to just simply complain about it. You know, we're good at doing that. Or even if groups of us are doing our own little thing in our own little pockets. But there should be an overall citywide effort to combat this very prevailing problem. And my opinion is that the entire city, all clergy, all sororities, all fraternities, all community leaders, all people from the grassroots, collectively work together to make Milwaukee a safer city, to work, worship, and to do business. And I should also say, certainly to live. That's why the social action ministry, St. Mark, headed by Warner Jackson, instituted a four-pronged plan. Tonight, what we're going to do is we're going to problem solve. We will have our next meeting on August 28th here at St. Mark, where we're going to develop strategies for the next 3 to 5 years. We will have two more meetings for implementation and assignments, and then the last meeting will be for evaluation. We need to determine how we're doing. This is much too critical for us to drop the ball. I had an interview with one of the TV stations today, and they said, what is it about this forum that's going to be different? There are a lot of forums all over the city. Well, what's going to be different about this is that we're going to stay the course. This won't be the only meeting, as I just mentioned. We'll have four meetings. We're going to make sure that people are assigned, and the people who are assigned to implement and get tasks done, they will be held accountable. At the subsequent meetings, I'm calling out all the clergy. I'm calling out all the community leaders. I'm calling out all of our politicians. They can no longer simply come around when they want us to vote for them.
Amen.
We have to hold them accountable to make sure that our city is the same place that we want it to be.
Right.
And so we'll be calling out all those people to make sure that they're at our subsequent meetings. Let me just give you some stats before I take my seat. The violent crime rate is drastically up in the city of Milwaukee. Now let me just say, in all fairness, the overall crime rate is down, but the violent crime rate in this city is up. In 2010, Milwaukee's violent crime rate was 158% higher than the natural average. Did you hear me? 158%. It is projected that the violent crime rate will be up 25% from 2010. Milwaukee is the 25th most dangerous city in America. Anybody can get their hands on a handgun. There are too many abandoned buildings where drug pushers can hide and do their business. And frankly, and I'm sure I speak on behalf of all of you here, the citizens of this community are tired of it. If you're tired of it, let me see you put your hands together. officials are then accountable, and I'm calling them out. We invited our alder person, we invited our legal alder person. Where are they? Their seats are empty. I'm calling them out. Where the clergy, where our community leaders, all of them ought to be called out.
Yes.
You need to hold us accountable. And there's a way that you can hold us accountable. The way you hold us accountable for the clergy is speak to us. Come to meetings like this and tell us what we're not doing. For the elected officials, you go to the polls. And next time, you make sure you don't vote for them. I think it's a shame that you can call your order person and never get a return call. Not only happened to you, but it happened to even me. I called, never got a return call. The days of doing nothing are over. Too many families are being affected. I think we invited some of these families tonight. Hopefully some of them will show up. And let me just say, the next family could be yours.
All right.
Next family could be mine.
All right, yeah.
Now, there are cities like Portland, Oregon. And there are other cities. I believe there's a city in Texas called Irvine, Texas. And they're considered some of the safest cities in America. So the question that we need to be asking is, why is that? And what is it that they're doing that we're not doing?
Yeah, yeah.
If they have a template, we need to find out what that template is, and we need to put it into action. Our own persons need to hear from us. The mayor needs to hear from us. The police chief needs to hear from us. And I'm telling the truth, this is church. Somebody don't say amen. I believe we can. If we're people of faith, and I think most of us are people of faith, we got to believe that this can be done. We can't get turned off because right now we don't have the numbers that we are expecting. Any grassroots effort that I know of didn't start on long. It started on small. But what kept it going, the reason why they were successful is because they kept the momentum. They kept that. And we want to keep at it. So, what are we doing tonight? Tonight, we want to problem solve. We want to problem solve. How can we change what's happening in our community? We'll have another meeting on August 28th where we'll talk about strategy. What is going to be our strategic plan to turn the violent crime numbers in Milwaukee around? The third meeting, we're going to do some implementation, and we're going to assign some people for some tasks. And we're going to hold everybody accountable for completing those tasks. And then, as I said, we want to do some evaluation. When the prophet Amos was concerned about the social conditions of Israel and the people who seemed to be just totally oblivious and unconcerned, who still went through the rituals of being religious, this is what Amos said to them. He said, let justice roll down like waters. And let righteousness roll down like a mighty spring. And I think he would say the same thing to all of us today. All of us are responsible for the city in which we live.
Amen.
And so my final word to you tonight is, let's go to work. Just turn your name on the other side of you and say, let's go to work.
Let's go to work. Let's go to work.
Right. At this time, I'm going to hand Mr. Warner Jackson, who is the president of our social action ministry here in St. Mark. He'll come at this time and he'll introduce the panel. And then I'm going to come back and give the forum instructions. One is not going to do my birthday.
This is important because every day when I pick up the paper, somebody has been shot. You know, it might not happen on my block, but it could. It might not happen on your block, but it can. And if we don't do something about it, nobody will. So, with that, my partner Al, stand up, Al. Al Lambert, we're the symbols. We're the symbols this town. To my left, we have Pastor Emeritus Lucy Gaynor Hunter. She's been out there a long time in the fight. She was part of the school segregation and bringing in the yellow buses here with Chapter 220. She also worked on school desegregation in Pine Bluff. She marched with Dr. King. She worked here with Partnership School Initiative, and just been out there on the forefront for a long, long time. Thank you for coming. Next, Cavalier Johnson. He's from the mayor's office, representing the mayor. And he does pretty good for himself. He was the architect of the Crime Prevention Week. Ceasefire Week. Crime Ceasefire Week. He was the guy behind it. He was the guy that wrote it up. Anybody can deliver. But when you can write it up, that's the thing. He's been out on the forefront. He's a 2009 graduate from the University of Wisconsin. He has a bachelor's degree in political science. He's committed to working with the community and nonprofits. He's been doing this for 15 years. Let me just tell you some of the things that he's done. He's helped at-risk young people in London. He's given hours of dedication to service to nonprofits in New York. He helped refurbish the school for the youth and chicken and children. And he spent his first college spring break helping people in the Gulf Coast after Hurricane Katrina. Dedicated, Cavalier Johnson. Thank you, Tim. Mike Robinson is running for office. Charlie Robinson is running for office, and he's upcoming. I'm going to let him tell us a little bit about his bio because it's better coming from.
Well, mainly I'm here to listen tonight. I've lived on McKinley Boulevard for 33 years. And my wife is chairman of the Neighborhood Association. And we've seen this kind of thing just grow and grow and grow. We're one block south of me. We've seen murders go on at Paper Teller Park. One of our young men in the neighborhood was walking home from school one day. He was a freshman, first-string quarterback with a high grade point. And some young man walked up and tried to pick a fight with him, and Jeffrey said no, and he kept walking. And this young man pulled a .357 Magnum and shot him in the leg. And Jeffrey got up, well-raised young man, got up and tried to get home. And this young man walked up and put one in his brain. And I've known those kids in that family now for 20-some years. That's the kind of thing that gets right through your soul. And we've had too much of it going on. I'm decided to run for office because I've known Chevy for many years. In fact, we served on a board of directors of the ACLU together when I was chairman. And everything he said about Chevy, we condone that. He's one of the most committed young men I know. And he's the kind of guy that keeps me going. My bio is that I've worked with nonprofit organizations here in this city for 40 years. I've worked with young politicians. I've worked with Mandela Barnes and Jerry Rand and Evan Blakey and others. And when I was working in West Stanford's campaign, people said, why don't you start putting all that experience with working with social service organizations and all that to use? And I said, well, I'm 65. And they said, so what? you know, it's about time you put it to work. So I'm not listening to people. I'm not, if I had all the answers, I'd be running for president instead of county board. I want to hear what people have to say about their issues, and that's why I'm here.
Right, the next fellow, I don't know, he hasn't done too much around here, and I don't know why we got him on the panel. You know, he's got his own company, you know, Vanguard Development. You go around 12th and North, you see all the new buildings. That's because Kaylin did it. He's built up half the city. He's one of the leading minority contractors in the city. He's also, I'm proud to say, my fraternal brother. We're 33rd degree Masons together, and he's just done a lot in the community, and when you call him, he answers. Kaylin Hayden. So then, we're going to get started. I'm going to call on the moderator. We all know Pastor Williams, and we're going to go into this vision, and we're going to get this first phase going. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Warner. At this time, I want to have each panelist give an opening statement. Mr. Fox already gave his open statement. And so I want each panelist to give an open statement, just speaking about your concern about violence in our city. And I ask you to hold your open statement to no longer than 2 minutes, and then we'll go from there.
I'd like to say good afternoon to everyone. And I'd like for you to come back to me because I only have 2 minutes. So good afternoon, everybody.
Good afternoon.
I didn't hear.
Good evening.
Thank you. Now, my degree, I must say that I didn't give it to Mr. Jackson, is in theology, urban theology, and I've had it now over 20 years, and as you said, I've worked in this city before I ever heard the word in the city, and I still don't like the word in the inner city. I don't like segregation. Inner city denotes segregation. North Side denotes segregation. African American denotes segregation. White denotes segregation. So I've had segregation up to here. I grew up in Little Rock / Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I was a very young lady, like 14, 15 years old, when my eyes came open to the difference that I saw that was taking place in our city, in the countryside where I grew up. I didn't know anything about immigration, but my father being a Pentecostal pastor. So I grew up with some very strict rules. And Pastor, you'll have to let me know. Just raise your finger.
Yes, sir. 1 minute.
All right. And I came up with some very strict rules. But when I look and see the things that is happening in our city, in the county, not just the north side, but in our city, I am appalled. I said, what? I'm 75 years old, so I was ready to hang up my shoes and work in the church. But I see that my time is not up. So I'm here to help solve the problem.
Thank you.
evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Cavalier Johnson, and I'm staff assistant to Maritime Barracks. I started that job in November of last year, so just about 7 months in or so. That was not the beginning of my service to the city. When I was 14 years old, I first learned the importance of giving back to this community. That's when I continued on in high school. I was involved in programs at the YMCA, a number of team programs, North Community Services. That was the genesis of my giving back to this community. I went on to college, continued that path. That was mentioned in my introduction. I spent my first spring break going down to New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina, and coming back here to the city on break from school to volunteer in the community, to help seniors to shovel snow during harsh winters, to pick up trash in neighborhoods, and to really just do whatever I could to be a force for good in this community. I continued on working with nonprofits and government entities over the past several years, and from there, worked with the Milwaukee Area Workforce Investment Board, where I had the opportunity to meet and work with some of the gentlemen who are on the stage here, Kaylin as well as Charlie. And from working with the Workforce Investment Board, serving young people, I then went on to the mayor's office, where I stand now. And one of my first assignments was working on Ceasefire Week, which you all may have heard of. It was an initiative to bring the community into the conversation, just like we're having now, about gun violence and other forms of violence that happen here in our community. So I'm pleased to be here, and I look forward to tonight's conversation. Thank you.
Was
because that wasn't my life. So we're trying to find a way, not a solution, of how we can bridge the gap between how they think and how we want them to think. But I'll end by saying this. I don't know who we're waiting on. I don't know if we're waiting on the mayor, or the sheriff, or the police chief, but at the end of the day, we just wind up being waiters. That we don't take the rule of our to do it ourselves. So we get out of here.
This is coming to mind.
Correct.
So you don't leave me mindful of the 2 minute left.
No problem, Captain. No, you're good, you're good. County Supervisor Major Bowen, good evening to everyone here.
Good
evening. It is an honor to represent people in Milwaukee County who work hard and deserve a high quality of life. But we're dealing with some issues, and the violence that we are seeing, I can't understand, is repetitive. But I want to bring your attention to a young man that was killed in one of my parks. And it was the first time that a murder has happened in my tenure in one of my parks in my district since I've been elected. And Tifa Tyler is located on about 24th in Galena, tough neighborhood that needs resources. So the reaction from some of the residents was, since this young man was killed, we need to take down the basketball courts. If you think basketball courts is what killed Jacoby Davis and Tifa Tyler Park 3 or 4 weeks ago, you're disconnected from the real issues that we're seeing. Our young people need access to resources. Our struggling families need access to resources. And a lot of times we're not seeing anybody knock on their door, and we're not seeing anybody reach out to them. And I think there is a role for neighborhood groups that live into these communities. To me, it won't be a nonprofit or others coming in to save those people. We have to train these residents on how to access different levels of government and resources for the betterment of their own neighborhood. So the Resident Leadership Conference is something that me and residents around the 10th District have been working on to plan for July 26th at COA. It's a Saturday from about 8:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. We're going to train residents on how to build the capacity of their neighborhood groups, because we aren't doing enough on the neighborhood level, where people live, where people have to work with each other, where people have to know who is in their neighborhood. So I just want to start it there. Our neighborhood groups have a really important role, and if they aren't the ones to do it, and they are trained to have access to those resources, they will not follow us down to the grassroots.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much. We're getting to our question section. I'm going to take a big risk here. Normally when we have these kind of forums, we have someone walking around and they pass out paper to you and we screen those questions. But I'm taking this big risk tonight. The reason why I'm taking that risk is because I think people need to be heard. People need to be heard. And so if we do this well tonight, this will be the format for subsequent forums. If you don't obey my rules, then we're going to go back to doing it the way, you know, where we have the questions written out. And so let me tell you what the rules are. Rules are, first of all, you're in church.
Yeah.
And so I'm not going to allow any foul language. Okay? That's rule number one. Rule number two, when you ask a question, I want you to ask a question. I do not want you to editorialize. In other words, we don't need all the stats and so forth and so on. Most of us know what they are. Ask the question. Number three, if you get too far out in left field, as the moderator, I'm going to have to politely bring you back. Okay? I did say politely. All right. And then, just a little note. I need someone who has an iPad to do two things. Number one, we can do the first thing probably just by someone having a notepad. You want to take attendance tonight and get your email addresses. If you don't have an email address, you want your regular mailing address. We can get that here and pass that around because we want to correspond with you about the other meetings that's going to be coming up. And then the second thing, we need someone probably with an iPad to take notes because we need to know, especially when we get to the solution section, what was said, so that when we mail out the note sheet, all that will be recorded. So does anyone have an iPad tonight that's good at taking notes? Does anyone have an iPad? Does anyone have an iPad? No one has an iPad? All right, then we need, who's good at taking handwritten notes? Who's good at taking handwritten notes? All right, if there's no one who volunteered, I will volunteer Crystalyn Stanley to take notes of this meeting, especially when we get to the, pardon? When we get to the solution section, Peter will bring you some paper. Okay, when you have a question, I want you to go to the mic that's in the center aisle. Please address the panelists that you are to whom you want to answer the question. And again, please just simply state your question.
My question is to the panelists, to you, because you stated about the four-pronged plan and you didn't tell us what the four-pronged plan is.
The four-pronged plan is, remember, PSIE. Tonight we problem solve. Second step is strategy. Third step is implementation. The last step is evaluation. Okay?
Okay, now the question to them is, my question is, what power and position can each of you do on your own to solve whatever we come up with?
Who are you, to whom are you addressing the question?
For
the sake of time, we want to do this in about 30 to 40 minutes rather than have them all of them address it. Please address it.
Okay, I'll address it to the persons who are political representatives.
One of the most important things that I do is to make sure that I'm not just stuck in my office ignoring the issues that are plaguing my district. And if you don't know where the 10th County Supervisory District is, it's between 27th Street, Highway 43, between Capitol Drive and Wisconsin Avenue. A large portion of the 53206 zip code and a number of other zip codes that are really struggling with issues of poverty. And I don't believe our local government or state government has some really strong strategies to deal with eradicating poverty. And we're continuing to see poverty grow and concentrated poverty in Milwaukee, and it's continuing to decline the quality of life in this community. And that's why I focus on policy or strategy in the community to engage the people around these issues. One of the things that's just a bright spot in my district is the work of Andre Lee Ellis, who's a young man, a ninth and ring. And every Saturday morning, he gives a call out to brothers in the community to help pay young men in the community that attend on time, 8 a.m., to come clean up and work in the garden from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. These young men pay $5 an hour, so $20 total. So I answered that call. Caleb has answered that call. A number of other brothers from the community and just people, a lot of women as well, that are invested in the young people come by and they drop that money off. And the fact that those young men, that they don't get access to a regular allowance, put in the energy and the time and learn the skills to be more job ready than before is
something powerful that's not started by, nobody told Andre to do this.
Right.
If you understand what I'm saying, he acted on his own. He saw a need. He reached out to the young people that everybody else was afraid of. And he engaged these young men. I think we have the opportunity to continue to do this on the neighborhood level, so that more residents, more neighborhoods can continue to engage their own young people. If you want to be real, we are afraid of our young people. A lot of them, older people that are connected into the neighborhood groups, all the resources, and things are talked about, and decisions are made, and people are engaged. They are in the know, but everybody else is outside of that. So we want to seek to continue to organize our community, because that in itself is important. But we also need the private investment as well in our community. So every neighborhood group has a role in economic development and attracting economic development to their closest business corridors. You have great developers in this community that want to continue to invest, that want to continue to get access to resources, so that they can invest into this community and not outside of it. If you notice, a lot of the jobs are outside of where the buses can reach. We need to expand our transit system, but then we also need to develop our local business corridors. So there's just a lot of work that needs to be done on the ground level, that people just aren't educated on how to access those networks and their knowledge base.
That's a good question.
Well, I'm representing the mayor, I'm not elected, so I'm not technically a political person, just a citizen to the mayor. But to answer the question, from my own perspective, how I can make a difference in some of the problems of violence and some of the other ailments that affect our community, I believe that young people will be what they see. One of the first lessons that I learned from my father was that if you're young, especially if you're a young black male, like I was, it's important that you get off the block. Get off your block, because if you don't do that, then that becomes the only thing that you see. Right? You've got kids in this community who are 14, 15, 16 years old who have never even been in the lakefront, who have never been downtown, who had no exposure in their lives except for home, school, and the corner store. Right? And if they don't have exposure to things outside of that, the toxic environment that many of them live in will be the only thing that they know, and the people that they see operating in those places will be what they aspire to be in some instances. So, myself, every instance, every opportunity that I get to go out and speak to young people, particularly young men of color, I take that up. That's why I go to my high school every single year, even though I've been out of high school for almost 10 years now. I go back to my high school every single year to talk to those kids and talk to the teachers that I once had, to make a connection with those young people and tell them that just what came with it. You know, your circumstance right now growing up is not defined where you can go in life. That's the exact message that I sent those kids, and they wouldn't improve that. So that's something that I can do personally.
All right. Next person, please go to the mic. After that person sits down, the next person will be in the queue and wants you to stand at the mic. So this gentleman will ask this question, he'll take his seat. The next person should stand at the mic.
Mr. Cavalier, the question I have is, how come the mayor never reaches out to the community activists who are on the front line on a day-to-day basis versus, you know, I understand that, you know, the mayor talks to Taxi United or FICA. But what about the community activists that are on the front line that knows the virus on a daily basis and do have solutions?
Well, on that point, I can't speak directly for Tom Merrick, but from my experience in the office, what I can tell you is that the mayor is very open to talking to anybody, especially on this issue right now. Somebody asked me just the other day what are some of the initiatives that the mayor is going to combat nonviolence here in the city, and I've rattled off a number of them. But as far as talking to community activists, it's one thing to give a call to the mayor's office and say, you know, I want to meet with you because I'm concerned about the issue, and then another thing to just go on and hide it on Facebook and they can't talk to them. Right? So you have to go through those channels, because, you know, even though we have he's not updating his Facebook profile with someone in the office. So give a call to the office, is my suggestion, and send them through those channels and then we can work.
I guess this would be directed at Earl Newman. I'm a lifelong resident of the city of Milwaukee. I've lived here for 59 years. So I've witnessed the city being one of the safest places in the nation for black people to live. And I now see it as one of the worst. And so my question is directed at you, County Supervisor Boyd, because you are the black elected official who's there. For many years, I talked about the change of younger black elected officials coming into our community because we thought that the others had gotten stated. But right now, in the face of the blood running in the streets in our neighborhoods, it is disheartening and troubling that not one black elected official, and we have many on all levels, has had the courage to step up and say to our community that we are not going to tolerate it anymore. The blood of our children are running in the streets. We can't play politics anymore. We need to be straight. These are our children, not directed solely at you, but what is it going to take from all these black elected officials who come and ask for our votes? But then when it comes to dealing with the straight answers about what is happening, silence.
Thank you for your comments, Earl. I think it's important for every elected official, especially black elected officials, to be outspoken. And I try to be outspoken as much as possible. I've gone to event after event, funeral after funeral, engaged family after family, and I think it has to be something very systemic and very large. To really deal with the amount of, and there's different types of violence, but the amount of violence that we're seeing as well. I think the amount, the accessibility of guns in this community is way too high. I think it's way too high. And there has to be a serious conversation about really removing illegal guns, not even people who have legal guns, but illegal guns. Put a resource behind getting them off the street and out of the hands of people in general, not just young people, because I've seen some old fools walk around with some with guns.
Why won't they stay it out? Why can't we hear it from them, from you guys? Why don't we hear it talk to you? You got the bully pulpit. You can call and you can make it clear that we're not going to tolerate it anymore. That's the question.
I definitely understand your frustration, but I'm screaming from the rooftop, bro. You can ask a number of people who have seen me in action. We are constantly in the streets where others won't go, who wouldn't dare set a foot on a number of streets where it is hopping outside. And they scared, but we go walk in these streets and we are engaging these young people. And we are engaging people in general just to tell them that they are loved and that they don't have to engage with this activity. So it is a choice. But we're working as hard as possible on the ground and we have to build this movement of more people who are engaged in this type of activity and who are afraid to really do the work that needs to get done.
Can I ask what Ms. Ingram said? What Ms. Ingram said, I think if you use the media to get that message.
Yes.
More people would hear it. We don't know about you on such and such street, walking the streets talking about it. If the whole community is going to hear it, we need to see you on television, we need to hear you on the newspaper, we need to hear you in those social media so that it's all across the city that you guys are not going to hear anymore.
It is partly, in my view, the media
about to do with it. On any given day, you might have one shooting, two shootings, maybe five shootings over a weekend. And I can guarantee you that there was triple that amount of good deeds done by black men in the city. The media seems to harp on the negativity that's produced. This is coming upon us, but we don't hold them accountable. Just like you want to hold him accountable. We can hold some 12 accountable, some 58 accountable, and everybody else. They're nowhere. 2 weeks ago in the SEC, we had 78 graduates in their high school diploma. 17 of which were black men. They were the captain of the room. Had they been still the first, or women in the gas station, the news would have been there. So when you turn on the TV, the first thing you see is how black males are, I'm going to tell you this, not I am. When I talk to young brothers and sisters, I say, I'm going to give you a word. When I say the word, the first thing that comes to your mind, the word I give them is passion. Hands go up, the young brothers say, poor, poverty, dirty, slums. I say, brothers, where do you think I came from? They say, you see on TV, you never been there. So then I ask the question, what do you think the white people think of you? Every night they live in Brookfield, or Fox Point, or Glendale, when they see the news, the only thing they see is murder, death, crime. We got to encourage the media to give a better perception to everybody of who we are. So we tolerate it. So when we see the news on Instagram, we say, there's something negative going on. We see calling down people saying, you know what? I love them, brother, those extra stuff, whether it's Andre or whoever. But it's coming upon us to hold everybody accountable. Just like this stuff is physical for us. The media has a lot to do with it.
All right, Mr. Fahima, do you, I'm going to give you a chance to do a 20-second rebuttal if you have one.
My response to you, sir, is that we don't elect the media. People come to us and tell us that they want our vote because they want to support us. So we can't control the media. We should be able to control those who come to us and ask us for our votes, and they are supposed to represent us.
All right.
I've got a question of feeling, but I've got a response also. We addressed our elected officials here to be here tonight. We asked for our all the persons, police to be here. The chair is vacant. You got to remember that. You got to remember the chair is vacant. Because when it comes time to vote and you put them back in, that's on you. Those chairs are vacant. My question is for Caleb. Every night when we hear about our young people killing somebody or shooting somebody or going to jail, we got to understand the mindset of it. We got to understand why. We just can't shake our head. What is the mindset? What do you think the mindset is? And how do you turn that around? Because that's where you got to go to the root if you want to solve anything.
Excellent question, Brother Warner. And Chevy and I kind of had this conversation aside a number of weeks ago. Because what we see is, even if you look around this room, majority women, none of the actors of the crimes that we hear about are in the room right now. They don't know what's going on, and nor do they even care what's going on. All I can say is, when I was in that world, that's my life. We got our own police, we got our own, that's my environment. So when you watch the news and we hear about the mayor's ceasefire, or Andre and the others, the kind of supervisors who wants to know anything with ring, that doesn't involve that. I don't care about that. I care about every time that my phone rings, it's about drama. It ain't about going out and going to the club. Every time my phone rings, it's about who robbed so-and-so, who shot at so-and-so, who we gonna go get. That's my world. That's my world. I asked a public official recently, I said, one thing that always troubled us in that life is that it's a very easy to do. I said, whenever we saw a county sheriff ride down the block, our whole attitude changed. They could be there for an eviction. All we knew was they was there for business. So we looked at the county sheriff as the people that took care of business, whether it was rain or the county jail. So I said, why can't we just have this summer have the county sheriff ride down the street, park a car up on the streets of high ground. They say, you know what? Because of the political environment, it won't happen. To Earl's point, They're playing a little game with young men's lives, with the blood of young men. And they can do stuff. This stuff they can do today. They're not going to do it. I can care less about an election when my job is to sell dope. My job is to sell dope, their job is to catch me. That's my job. Even when Judge Maxine White incarcerated me, it wasn't for me to be rehab. It was for me to think of how much more dope I could sell. It gave me time of how I can think about how not to get caught next time. You get me this time, you won't get me next time. So that's the mindset that they play with now. And when you talk to them, but I will say this, but they don't like being bamboozled no matter what substance they're on.
That's correct.
So when you go to them, you tell them, and this is happening to me 2 years ago. When a young girl got shot on the playground, I took upon myself to drive to the neighborhood. I pulled up some neighborhoods that I used to be in. They have the intel. They knew who the criminals were. They, in their mind, they knew who the actors on the crime were and where they were at. One brother said to me, man, we had to be here for 24 hours to turn this up in. They know where the brothers are at, and they can stop it if they want to. Every neighborhood has money, what we call the call for. Everybody got a chief. Every neighborhood do. Every neighborhood. And if you would engage them, especially say, how many people engage them on the ground level? So one, I definitely love to hear the efforts of our political leaders on either side, but it takes people to get down on the ground level. Say, listen, man, I'm going to tell you what will work. And I'll put my neck on the line to say it. If you went to Brooklyn and said, over the next 7 days, you want a ceasefire. If you get involved in your business, I can't tell you what to do about that. But no shooting straight bullets, no shooting kids, no shooting innocent bystanders, no drive-bys, I guarantee you can get a result. But you have to engage them. And Chevy, I'm going to tell you, he's a good brother. When I talked to him about it, I said, Chevy, you can't have a ceasefire with a unilateral decision. You can't tell me that me and you beefing and you have a ceasefire and I'm the only one to agree to it. And then get mad at me when you didn't act out. So the ceasefire, and I think he took that to heart, because next time around, the ceasefire may look a little different. But the mindset, the answer for one of the question, the mindset is, this is our world. This is our world, everything we do. And I was a young brother that had already purchased my cemetery plot by the time I was 21 years old. I never thought I was going to be 21. And it wasn't a bad thing. And even when I got shot, the first thought I had, my first thought was my son's going to be mad at me. My son was 9 months old. My second thought I had was, I'm about to die. And it wasn't like a sad thing. It wasn't, oh Lord, my God, my world is ending. It is what it was.
All right, thank you. Next, let me just remind those that asked the question. I know you're addressing the politicians in the community here. Just want to remind you that we do have a representative from the 30th West.
You probably don't know it all.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to thank you all for coming out today. My name is James Burns, and I'm just a small general contractor here in the city. I've been here all my life, and I've never seen such an increase of crime, well, murders, that we have now. It was just a few weeks ago that me and my mother and my daughter and my brother, we were sitting on the front porch, and someone was firing an AK-47 on 11th and Madison. We were holding down tight as bullets were actually flying over our heads. Now, just last night, as I was bringing my daughter in from work, went to go pick her up, there was more gunfire in the alley right past my vehicle as I'm driving to my driveway. So that's just about 75 feet or 200 feet from my driveway. So I had to speed on past there and leave my home so not to be killed. Now, my question and comment is really towards the mayor's office. I can't understand, although I really appreciate that you guys are all out here, where are the key people? I don't see the mayor himself. I don't see our alderwoman. I do not see any representatives from the common council that I recognize. What is really going on here? Because if this same type of activity took place downtown, I can guarantee it would almost be solved within a week. But in the black community, we don't ever hear anything else back as far as when somebody gets shot. And now people are murdered there on 11th Street. And this isn't the first time people are murdered outside that liquor store on the corner. And every one of you in here today, every time you drive past 11th and Atkinson, you put your life in your own hands.
Jacob, I ask you to state your question.
So my question is, where are the key people? Where are the captains and whatnot of the police department? Where are they?
Okay, the question is, where is the mayor? Where are the key people that should be here tonight?
Well, of course I can ask to speak for members of county council. I can't speak for members of county council, unfortunately, so I'm sorry that I cannot do that. As far as the mayor, I just got in this last, over the last week or so, the invitation to come here. The mayor had an engagement, so that's why he was not able to be here. Otherwise, he would not be here. For the police chief, I mean, I was never responsible, of course, for contacting people to come here. I was just invited by myself, and I can't suggest that. But as far as the mayor's mentioned, this office has gotten the invitation to it. As far as I know, Valley has just about a week or so ago. So that's why I'm here.
Okay, let me do a follow-up question. If we do subsequent forums like this, can we count the mayor himself coming?
We don't have one right now. That's the problem. We do not have a chief of police right now. All we got is political excuses. Every time we get in front of our camera, these guys are the most state laws. We got enough black guys locked up in the state of Wisconsin. We don't need to be more laws right now. We need to get these fellas off the street. First of all, to the mayor's office. The mayor is the most borderline person I've seen in my life. Sorry, that's the way they go. I'm not asking him to speak for him because you can't. He should be sitting right from the center. This is more important than running to a shooting scene and standing in front of TV6 camera every time somebody gets shot. We need to get this under control. My question to you is, why come this man Flynn was allowed to come into the city and we changed his whole police department? We should have a gang squad and we get these kids off these alleys, off these corners, off these vacant buildings. We have a mass control group, which I worked in 13 years. I went undercover and came up with 100 people's names and arrested them for selling drugs to me. Where is this kind of enforcement at right now? The FBI came to these like, well, on 13th and Atkinson and arrest nobody for selling down bags, quarter bags. He might sell a guy for selling $10,000 worth of dope, he might go after him. But all of this shooting, mister, is about drugs, gambling, and drug dealers robbing each other. Another thing, I want this question answered. Why come all of these Iranians and all these other folks running these stores are not sent somewhere to train on when to shoot or when not to shoot? That little baby didn't have to get shot every day. This man just started shooting, another guy started shooting back. What are we going to do?
Take your two questions succinctly. There are two questions.
Okay.
I'll allow the mayor's office to answer that question.
Yes.
Allow the mayor's office to answer that question, and then the pastor wanted to answer as well.
All right.
There are two questions.
When did the mayor go straight up to the police department?
Yeah.
Number one. When did Chief Flynn go get called to do his job to stop the fight? That's my two courses.
All right.
Can you repeat the second question, sir?
You want you to repeat the second question?
The second question is,
when is Chief Plan going to get called by the people we have collected, elected, these so-called alms that we got who don't show up? We got a fire police division that the mayor appointed. We elected the mayor. When are these people going to hold Flynn accountable to this community without all the excuses that half the stuff he's saying is in the act of anyway?
Right. Yes, sir. Before he answers, we want to welcome Senator Lena Taylor, who joined the panel. Let's give her a great big hand. Yes, sir.
I wasn't invited to be on the panel, but when I came in, I was told I needed to sit down on the panel. So I just want to make it clear, I didn't come late to the panel. It's like I wasn't invited, I was supposed to be here. I just want to make sure.
All right. Yes, sir.
I think I have two really compact questions. The first one you touched on before you just picked them up. You talked about why Chief Flynn wasn't even allowed to come into the city. I of course, can answer that. I was in college when he first came here. Right, I wasn't even here. When is the mayor going to straighten out the police department? I think that the mayor believes that the police department is doing a good job with the resources that they have. Chief Flynn is a very data-driven police chief. So I don't know if you have seen the chief in media, in the news, but everything that the chief says, everything that the chief does comes from data that's actually happening on the street. I know you mentioned the FBI not wanting to come into certain neighborhoods like this. Actually, just this week on Tuesday, as a matter of fact, Chief Flynn's police department, in partnership with the FBI, 200 officers, 100 from each agency, did a raid on gangs not very far from here and arrested a police officer, 18 folks in Morgan County. So the police work with what they have. They've got really, really tight resources. You all know, everybody knows this. The city has a foreclosure problem, right? And as a result of that, the tax revenue that the city receives is not what it should be to support and sustain a very large police department. Milwaukee, though, does, even through tough times like this, has, I believe, the ninth highest percentage of police officers of any big city in the United States. So we're working with what we have, right?
Young man, you don't even understand. You're really young. That 200 officers that's running around the city.
Let's allow you to give a brief rebuttal.
Yeah, yes, sir. That's a waste of manpower. The rest 15 people, come on. Then what I said was, the drug dealers, the lowest echelon FBI recruiters I worked in, I got experience in years, you can't tell me that they didn't. They go in the room to the top echelon, the top guys in the top. The guys that sling the guns out here on the corners, they don't fool with them. That's below what they do. And it's very, when he uses the resources he got, bunch of foolishness. You go down 27th Street, 35th Street, you see 15 police before you get North Avenue to Capitol Drive. Doing what? Stopping on Sunday for a taillight and wasn't even out. Yeah. They aggravate people that doing nothing wrong. They're not using the resource to get the bad guy. I'm 70 years old. I don't need to be stopped on a father save a taillight and not out with two policemen when I walked the beat and got beat up by myself, one guy. So don't tell me they use their resources. Flynn has no clue how to use his resources.
That's right.
All right, thank you very much.
You know, I would say, you know, those folks who were arrested and FBI raided 15 or so folks, it can be said that was a waste of resources and those guys would have done anything for the high profile guys, but if all those guys, let's say, carry guns, and each of those people shot somebody, then that's been 15 more people that have been shot, and we need even more outrage. So we are doing what we can with the resources that we have.
All right.
I'm going to allow the pastor to answer briefly. Let me just say this. We're going to stop this section of questions at the lady who's in the red. So I'm just saying, nobody else can get in line at this point. We'll stop it there, and then we're going to spend 15, 20 minutes in our solutions section to where we go from here, and we'll have our closing expressions. All right, Pastor.
Someone made a statement that I probably could answer one of these questions better than anybody. I don't know about that, but I can say I'm going to put the responsibility on you. This is your community. If the mayor never stops by, if the chief never stops by, it's your responsibility. It's your community. It's our community. I want to say, why isn't there more people here? I didn't see the young girl that was playing on the playground. The young 12-year-old that was shot 19 times. That community got up off of their seat. That community got up off their seat and went to that family's rescue. How many of you have gone to this young black girl that's out in children's hospital fighting for her life? When we get up, when you as a people get up, when you as a people, if I march, if I step out in the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s, you need to tell me you're scared of them. There was lynching, shooting, hanging, drowning, anything that you want to. And I said the one thing that opened my eyes was when Emmett Till, he and I was about the same age, when they did what they did to him. And I want to say to you, my sisters and my brothers, get up off the seat of do nothing. Get up. Don't wait for the mayor. The mayor's too old. He needs to retire. The chief is too white. He needs to go back where he came from. But we sit here and we let all of these people walk over us. You sit here. I watch them bring the drugs, the cigarettes, the gum, pay the 9, the 7, 8, 9, 10-year-old, put a beaker, I think the thing was called, give them $5. We did something about it. Now, you get up. And when you come back to this meeting, don't ask what the politicians are doing. They're doing what you demand that they do. You are making no demands of the politicians. If you make the demands of them, like you do all of the preachers, like you do the churches that's not doing anything, now make demands on yourself.
I really don't play basketball, so I don't know, but I would assume that if I went to go and use
wouldn't work. So the police chief is actually has some of the most power or control in the nation as a police chief. And our fire and police commission is where the accountability of the police chief comes from. And the answer to the question in regards to how did the chief get here, because the common council and the mayor, through the process they had, the police chief was chosen. Really did have input also. But regardless of that, I'm not going to even get into if I like his job, if I think he needs some cultural competency training in the whole police department, which they don't have cultural competency training, they only get it in the beginning, and then they never have to have it anywhere after that. But we got 10 minutes before we go to the solution section, and I want to talk about that. But I just wanted to make sure that we knew that the Fire and Police Commission is where the accountability is. And if you really want to be honest about why there is no accountability with our police department, because if when you have an issue with the police, you don't do a complaint, then they specialist claim. But if you did a note every time and you did a complaint, then if everybody did a complaint, then they would have that many buckets in their file, or that many notes in their file. We don't do a complaint, because well, if I do a complaint, then it don't matter anyway, and if I got to do the simple dues, and then we don't do nothing. So I'm just saying, we have to use the complaint process in order to be able to hold officers accountable for there to be a tracking process that exists, and we need the Fire and Police Commission to do it, and I'll end with this. The mayor does have two seats that I've asked him to appoint people of color to with the Fire and Police Commission because I did the legislation to make it where he could use more seats so that we could have a more accountable Fire and Police Commission so that we would feel like our police department was working more with us and that we were being more proactive. Because a Fire and Police Commission could ask the police department to do certain trainings or things or whatever based on the complaints or what we see. So we have the tools, but you realize 85% of our children cannot read on grade level, right? So the literacy level in our community is challenged. The political understanding and how to use the system or whatever is challenged. So if we don't even know that it ain't the center that you call if you got a pothole, I think now everybody knows who's doing potholes because it's on the tell my cousins too. But my point is that we need to understand the process. So if we want to help the police department, we need to deal with the Fire Police Commission, we need to be engaged in that process, we need to ask the mayor to use all the seats he has so we can be engaged in that process, we need to look at what they've done, and we need to figure out other things they've done, what other things do we need to have done. Because we can be mad, and we are the most people we can be mad, and I know how to do that. But we need to be about doing something to get some change, and that comes when you know exactly what the rules are, and you can lay your ear and say, boom, 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 like Mama said over there, how are you?
All right. It's 20 minutes to 8, and 10 minutes to 8, we're going to stop. So that will largely depend on... No, we have to wait. Yes. I can't hear everybody at once. Yes.
We go back to you.
Where's my timekeeper?
Yeah, yeah.
My timekeeper, you got an answer in 2 minutes. You want to get to the lady at the last lady's line. You want to cut it off in 10 minutes. Yes, sir.
How
you doing? My name is Julius.
Let's take it out and leave.
All right. Yes, sir. No. I'm going to make sure that we don't want to ask someone lines. I'm going to ask a question. Yes, sir.
My question, I'm sorry. I'm 25 years old. I'm one of the only people I've seen outside of looking up like that to here. That's my age. And I think a lot of the problems are we don't have enough people our age. We got to figure out how we want to motivate other children because you, our age, to get them in here. It's great to see everybody here. You know, there's no disrespect. There's a lot of gray hair, a lot of granddaddy and grandmother in here. You know, we need a lot more. I'm having kids right now. We need a lot more people who are out there who can get out there and see what's going on.
I think we lose a lot of use to social media, you know, whether it be Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, whatever it is. You allow the kids to live false lives. So if you got a kid,
I'm gonna ask a question.
I'll wait. If you got kids, I ain't gonna let them believe that they are their favorite rapper, or they can pose, they can do whatever they want to do, they get 5,000 likes, they got 5,000 friends that believe in them, then when they get out here on these streets, they really believe that they're that person that they want to be. So that's the problem that we have. So my question to you guys and everybody else is, because I'm not here to, you know, go at the mayor or alderman or whatever, how are we going to motivate our youth to get on board with us?
Were you asking that question?
Even if anybody else wants to ask
you. Who wants to take that question?
Who's going
for who? No, just one person. You have two messages.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
This is one thing that a couple things I encourage. One is, for some reason, we allow that very image to be portrayed as being cool. You know, like when I get into business, I got an older black man telling me, hey man, you gotta lay low. Make your moves, make your business grow. Do what you gotta do, stay out of the white space, right? But when I'm doing that, the young brothers on the block thinking no man is cool. It's my job to let them know that my job is cool too. That if they do what I do, they can get money and have nice cars and live well. If I keep hiding what I do, and if it's called being flamboyant or whatever it may be, but that's our job. So when the rules of the game change now, because you get the Facebook and social media, giving this false image. But there's a real image out there. But I'm telling you, we've been told for so long to lay low and be cool. So the first thing we got to do is make sure that we give them another image of what can be. They want to live live. They want to be live. That's part of my job. The other thing too is, as you said, next time we come, we should take over something, Pastor. Had I said the same thing that Pastor Miller said, it wouldn't have been received the same. There's power in the person that delivers the message. That's why a lot of them clap and then say that they have respect. It's the same respect that you and I give when I go to the block. So we got to be better messengers to the young brothers and sisters. So what we hear here today is our job to go out tomorrow. And they, you know what? They never turn your way. No matter what block I hit, they listen to me. Even if I don't even know them. They don't shoot you when you come on the block. They want to hit you. So it's our job to go out and be involved in them. If you feel that, if we're their face, that's our job.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
Good question, bro.
Good evening. My name is Marcia with State Department of Candidate for Governor, State of Wisconsin, 2014. My question is directed to Mr. Johnson. I agree. But, okay, and also Ms. Lena. Okay, what if I...
Directed to who?
Mr. Johnson.
We don't have time for one person.
Okay, directed to Ms. Lena. You mentioned about the following the chain of command. As far as reporting things and doing, I'm a victim of, from 6 years ago, I was beaten brutally on Cartonia and Nash and put in a coma and left on the ground there. I crawled 6 blocks. No one stopped to help me. I followed the chain of command. I was in the hospital for a month. I got out. I didn't get a police report. No police report was filed. The police didn't beat me at the hospital. I went to the mayor's office. I also met you on the bus, and we talked a few times. Now, what happens when you follow all the criteria, all the commands, and nothing comes from that? 6 years later, I'm no longer a victim because I will not let the person that did this to me keep holding that on over my head. So where do you go? Who answers to when you're not a victim anymore? Will you just...
All right, so the same.
Who do you go to?
I think the first thing I'll say is, but you have to still do the process. You're talking to the mayor, talking to the senator, that's great.
But I did do the proper process. I went to fire commission. I went to the commissioner board downtown at the courthouse. I showed the pictures from the hospital bills to get a restraining order.
This is what I can say, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but this is what I can say in that regard, that there is a process. And sitting here today, I can't know of all the thousands of constituent cases that I get. Literally, we get thousands of them.
I understand that.
And it's three staff, you know, so if it wasn't for people volunteering in our office, we wouldn't be able to get through what we have to. But what I can say to you is that the process for the Fire Police Commission and the process for appealing those decisions, I would encourage the use of that and the internal investigation. And what I know is that the number of complaints that they say they have is way less than the number of complaints and comments that I hear from community. So I hear you saying that you believe that you follow the process. I would encourage you to have someone maybe review what you did do with you to see if there are some other steps. And even though it sounds like you feel and you're passionate in some way, it's still good so that the next person, right?
Oh, well.
That the process has been challenged, and I'd be happy to help you. My chief of staff is on the side over there, and if you'd be happy to talk with him, we'd be happy to follow up and help you navigate that process.
That is the same thing you told me when I met you on the bus. But I know. I've been a private investigator.
All I can tell you is that if we told it to you then, I'm willing to do it again.
But I can
assure you, ma'am, let me suggest that you talk with her after.
No conversation needed, but I just wanted to give you my solution to the activity that's going on right now. I'm working with the 7th District.
Ma'am, you asked a question, so I'm going to respectfully have to answer that question. Okay? All right, next.
Yeah. I'm Pastor Fair. I got the church right down here on 19th and Access in St. Andrew Mission Church. I've 30 years of teaching in the Walker Public School. My question is to the preacher. What more can churches do to stop the violence?
All right. Pastor, two minutes, please.
What more can churches do?
I'm sorry.
Come off of your pulpit on Sunday morning. Period. Forget about the anniversary sometimes. I was one of the ministers the other day. You can bring all the high profile people that you want in the church, all people that's going to hear of the people that come all the time. But you got young black men and women, boys and girls on the street. Close the door and get out in the street. The next time a shooting happens, call me. I have to get a cab, or if I have to start a woman, I never make it, but I'll start out. This is what the church needs to do. The church needs to do what we did when we marched with Dr. Martin Luther King.
Good point.
Good point.
Good point. Good
point. This isn't about what the church don't do, what the masses don't do, what the temple don't do. This is about what we as individuals, what am I going to do? I'm not supposed to come to me and then keep me because I'm about being about it. I'm about doing my work to get it done. And we have to go house to house, door to door, box to get it done. That's what we need to do. I'm a senior citizen. I got a bad knee, I got a bad back, I got a whole lot of stuff going on. But because I have 3 murder children, and I find that the same for the last 23 and 15 and 14 years that I've worked with the police department. When I say work with them, I don't mean work with them like that. I mean trying to solve the murder of my children, which is through no fault at all. I go to meetings quite often, and this is all we get. You're the politicians, you're preachers, you're whoever, up to the panel, and you hear more from them than you hear about the people who's actually there like that. But what I believe is that we need to understand is, when it's intersected me, it's there for everybody. And this is not a race issue. This ain't no black and white issue. This is me, everybody needs to say.
Alright. Okay.
So what is my question is, where I started out with the question. What are y'all prepared to do? What are we prepared to do? Other than come for me, sign a sheet, put our name and emails up, and go back home and close that door. Everybody needs to ask that question to themselves.
You remember on the
panel this week? No, I want everybody to think about it themselves. Because the next time it might be your son, your daughter, your grandchild.
That's the question for us to ponder, and I think when we get to the solution section in a couple of minutes, we'll be able to deal with that. Yes, ma'am.
Hi, thank you, Pastor. The pastor on the panel and the sister that just spoke actually said a lot of what I was going to say and actually answered part of my question. My name is Yolanda Castro. I'm with the Central City Triangle Neighborhood Association. Been in the same house for 40 years. About 5 years ago, we woke up one day and our neighborhood had been taken over. And I just want to tell you very quickly that I'm probably the only person in the room that does not have a complaint or a problem
you were just saying there's a lot of sidebar conversations.
Y'all need to be quiet.
You can stop that. Yes,
it's okay. So they can hear. I don't really want to spend my time complaining about the beliefs of the mayor or the elected officials. What we did is we organized our neighborhood with a community partner. We went to the 5th District Police Department. We got to know them, they got to know us. When we call, they come. We have a very good relationship with the police department. With the mayor's office, when we send communication, we get a response. So we can call, we can complain about who's not here, we can ask questions of people who can't answer them, but I agree, until we, those of us sitting in this room, and our neighbors, come to the table and talk about what the solutions are and what we can do. Not only those who live in the community, but those who live outside the community. Pastor, I think you said it in your opening statement. No matter where you live within the city or the suburbs, this is all of our problems. So I think the next time we have a forum, if we have a panel of resource people, not people who cannot answer the question. I mean, if 5 or 6 people ask the same question, the people couldn't answer them. But I do have one question, and that is, what resources are available at the state level to assist us at the neighborhood and community level to organize and sustain our neighborhood organization?
That I'm aware of, state funding would go to municipalities or to counties that would, like I said, you know, trickle down to the local level, neighborhood level, those types of resources. And so, off the top of my head, I'm unaware of something that would be accessible to a neighborhood association in that sense. However, I will write down that question. And
actually, to fund the community organization that work with Rachel Wilson is here, she works with Boston Riverside County. So I'm talking about, those kind of organizations.
To be very candid with you, when you consider just all the different issues that I have to deal with, I don't know particularly what that particular organization off the top of my head does, what their budget is, where they get their funding from, and what portion that connects to the state with. I don't know that off the top of my head, but what I will say is that a conversation, I think, with my office to know what that organization does, to know if they're connected, is the best that I can articulate. Sitting up here, on a panel that I wasn't prepared to come
to.
At any time, anybody in this room, if there's something that you're trying to do and you don't know, I'm a resource. If I don't know, I know how to ask some people to try to get to the point of, resources or resolutions. It may not always be what we want, and it may mean we have to talk to somebody else too, but yes, so please. And we have our card with us. Feel free to have a card, and you can write down our number, 342-7176.
Give the mayor's office 10 seconds.
Okay, that was the same response to that. You should check with the CDBG office, the Community Development Black Grant Office, at the city level, some of the money that Senator Joe was talking about that trickles down to the municipalities, and then we work with community-based organizations, neighborhood groups, to disperse that to you guys. So contact, give my card after this is over, and I can connect you with the office.
Solution section. What I want to do here is I want to give a number of you the opportunity to take the mic
I don't want you to editorialize. I don't want you to editorialize. I want you to take the mic and state in a sentence or two what, based on what we heard tonight, based on what's happening in our city, what is a viable solution. I want our scribe, I think that's Kristen Stanley. Well, then somebody has to make sure they write these things down. So if you leave, you need to give it to somebody else. I want to make sure that the scribe writes these things down. The notes will be sent to all of you. Did everybody sign a sign-up sheet? Did everybody sign a sign-up sheet? I said, did everybody sign a sign-up sheet? Where's the sign-up sheet? It's going around. Sign a sign-up sheet with your email or your snail mail, and these solutions will be on there as well as everything else that was said, and we'll start, and then we'll do our strategy session in, what did I say, August the 28th. All right. Again, no editorializing. In a sentence or two, give us some solutions.
I would suggest one of the committee profiling the victims and the perpetrators and to find out the misunderstanding in the areas to try to find out a common ground that they all seem to have so that you can attack that particular problem from that standpoint.
All right. If I scribe should be able to stand up and regurgitate what you just said. She cannot do it, so you need to say it again.
Profile the victims and the perpetrators, their mental state in the areas that they live, and different questions to plan so that you can find a common ground that might permeate through all of these situations so that you can solve whatever that common ground is and you have a better idea on how to stop.
Okay, Warner gave a very, very good suggestion. If you're not sure that the scribe has written it down as you stated, make sure you go to her to speak to her that it's written correct. All right, next.
Okay, my name is Grace, and just real quick, I am a community organizer here in the neighborhood and part of the city, and my solution would be more black watches. I flyer in this neighborhood several times before, and today everyone has a flyer with just wanted resident leaders. So if you're interested on your block, just give me a call. There are some of my Black Watch captains and folks here today. Reverend Fair from St. James Church, Yvonne McCaskill from Central City Neighborhood. So I organize various communities, and that flyer is calling me, and I think Black Watch has helped as far as solving some of the solutions to the crime in the neighborhood.
Okay, so what I heard you say is Black Watch. Especially in the troubled communities in our city.
Right.
That would be a goal, block watch in every one of those communities.
If we can have a block by block captains on the block watch, resident leaders, you know, even just individuals on your block, and that's what that paper is that I passed out, and I can help you and talk to you on how to do that, and that's how Century City was started also 5 years ago, and other groups too, and they're very strong. So.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Become a block watch person. That's what I heard.
Okay.
Is that what you said?
Yes, in essence. We need resident leaders. We need the community to come out. Like you said, when these incidents happen. That's the only way that we can see things change.
All right.
Okay, so just call me and get my card too. So my office is right around the corner on 27th and Hope. So I'm out there. I'm everywhere.
All right, thank you very much. Next.
Hi, my name is Jeanette Hinton, and I think that the solution is that each one of us has to do what we can. Each one of us has to do what we can. I own a salon, and I created an information board in my salon, and one of the questions one of my clients asked me was, she said, all the different offices in government, what specifically do they do? And so we went online to try to find the job description. So sometimes you say people in government aren't doing certain things, and that's not even their job description. So they don't have the capacity to do those things. So I did go online to find, try to find an organizational chart that describes what each person does so that I can put that on my bulletin board so when I have clients that come in, we can follow the proper protocol. So hopefully, you know, maybe if you know of a website that defines each person's job description, that's what I want to do to help the people that come into my environment. Okay. So each person has to do what they can to help.
What I hear you saying is, I heard two things. Number one, I heard you say a chart that defines what each government official does.
Yes, like when we get our job, we have a job description. And so it outlines, you do this, and this. And so we know, okay, the auditor does this. So if I have a particular problem,
that's what being under our name. Y'all want to do everything.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree with that because I say we have to do what we can do.
Amen.
And part of what I'm doing is trying to create this board in my command so that I can be part of a resource center. And so
okay, so what I hear you saying is two things we need to move on. A chart that would define what each government official does, and then I heard secondly, maybe some kind of larger chart where people can say, I'm willing to do this for my community or my city that everyone that everyone can sign.
Exactly.
And then that's distributed across the city.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks.
My name is Reverend Jeffrey Jones. And I was going to say something earlier, but I didn't want to get in line. What is the real problem facing our community? Is it gun violence or the lack of jobs and economic growth in our community? I believe that the problem is economic growth and jobs. It's the root of everything. And I think one of the things that we can do is to develop a community employment program to put our people to work.
I love you.
A community employment program to put our people to work.
Because, you know, I just want to make this one editorial statement. You know, aren't we tired of begging people for jobs? Aren't we tired of going to other people?
Yeah.
Many of us have things that we can have done around our homes that we can pay somebody for. But yet we can't get it done. If we had a community employment program, I could contact that program and say, I need my grass cut, I need some painting, I need some whatever. And even if necessary, I can throw $100 in a month and seed money to put our young people to work.
All right, thank you very much. That's an excellent solution. That's I will stop with the young gentleman who just got in line. We'll have to stop with that.
Hi, my name is Beverly Thayer. I'm Pastor Thayer's wife. We had something similar to this back here, I believe, in the fall where we invited preachers from up and down Athens and Athens. And my solution is we have so many churches up and down Athens and Athens. Instead of pulling in as a pastor at the church, we need to be pouring out into the community. I think that pastors need to step out, get to know each other, and then pour into the community. Get to know these young people. Because when you go from the beginning of Athens and 8th Street of 10th Street, all the way down, it's churches. And we all have members. So if we as pastors start coming together and getting to know each other, we invited you. We invited other pastors, and I believe only two pastors showed up. We had aldermen, we had politicians and representatives, but if we as pastors that take money in and not pour out, if we don't start pouring out into the community and getting to know these young people, it's never going to work. And we need to start doing our job as a church and start coming out of the four walls. That's my solution.
Okay, let me make a suggestion. If you would go to the secretary and give her a little bit more specifics about
what you did. How can we make that happen? You made a general statement about getting to know each other. Give her more specifics so that she knows. Next.
My name is Sherry Cotton. I'm a member here at St. Mark's. I have worked with all kinds of volunteer groups in my neighborhood. We have a neighborhood club, one of the oldest on the north side called RAG, Roosevelt Area Action Group. But I'm saying this is that our children, as well as adults, need to be aware of their community resources. We're not aware that there are resources here. And there are Girl Scouts and Boy Scouts and activities in the church. Those things need to be utilized. Not only that, the attitude that changes in children, if that can happen. But I'm speaking to the male role models. Standing next, okay? Do away with it, okay? Loud music, that goes to the female too. Dresses too short, get rid of them. Because all those things are taking us down too. The ministers are ready to talk about it in the pulpit, and I'm talking about it right now. These short dresses up to your behind.
This is one of the
mothers, solutions.
This is one of the mothers of St. Mark. Mm-hmm. And let's first of all give her a great big hand. Yeah?
This is a mother, she's an educator that is retired. She is a volunteer extraordinaire. President Obama in office, because she was one of those
right.
that volunteered for him.
So I'm going to ask,
I'm going to ask mama
and all that above to give us a solution.
A solution?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, a solution is to involve neighborhood groups. Okay? In other words, don't be afraid to go to Garden Home Playground. I go over there. I know something's going over there that shouldn't be. But I appear there every now and then. Okay? I go to their manor, on the corner of Roosevelt, she's telling me that's a problem. That's a serious problem. The service station across the street, right on the corner from New Hope, that's a problem. But I told me I don't like that there.
So more neighborhood groups.
More neighborhood
groups. And I think that's what the young lady stated, who I believe are right here, are Black Watchers.
Visibility. We need to be visible in the neighborhood.
All right, thank you very much. That's, who's taking notes since our scribe left? Okay.
How about bringing the young troubled youth and the people that's on the street, bring them into the solution process?
Because oh, excellent.
That's one thing. Two, what she had done on June 7th, I put out there to the community, to the church community, to do a prayer walk. Engage into, engage with the people in that neighborhood where that church is established and get to know them. Tell them about the resources that the church provides.
Yeah.
Pass out literature. Because, for instance, there's a church, I'm not going to say where it is, where it's at, but they did a prayer walk, they did a block cleanup, and they was wondering why there's not enough participation. Because they never engaged in the community. Go to door to door, pass out information, this is what we're doing. Invite them to come. See, that's one thing the churches don't do. They do not interact with the neighborhood that is around them.
All right. So to sum it up, the churches need to be more interactive.
Yes, more outreach.
All right.
Actually engage with the people in the community.
All right. And then the other thing I heard you say at the beginning, come up with an excellent idea. We just have to think about how that's done. But bring those young people that we're talking about and engage them in the process.
Right. We're not talking about the youth that's in the Boys and Girls Club. We're talking about actual youth that's out there.
I heard you. Right. And we'll have to think about how do we get that done. Thank you very much. Thanks.
My name is Anthony. I'm an EMT for Medicare. I've been here for 7 years running the streets. There's been a lot of violence that I've seen over the years, and I'm just trying to think about solutions to channeling the energy of youth and such. And as an athlete and stuff, I know how much fun basketball is important. I was thinking about something like Games for Peace, citywide Games for Peace or something like that, like incorporating like touch football, basketball, and including boxing too. The first time I ever worked, it was at a MLK center boxing event, and it was pretty dope. I just want to say, like, I think citywide sports, or citywide games for peace.
That's right. Citywide
games. We couldn't hear you very well. I think it's what part of the challenge is, but I think what I heard you say, to sum up what he said, Pastor, is basically games for peace. So, for example, some boxing matches, some basketball games, baseball games, some different stuff going on, games for peace, where it then can address the issue of community being involved and coming together and having people out, because that positive energy or good energy will be towards the cause of changing how our community works and by getting people out and engaged. Am I hearing you
right? Yes, sir. Yes.
One minute.
All right. Thank you so very much. Give yourself a great big hand. Yes, sir.
I think we as a community need to bring a lawsuit against the Milwaukee Public Schools, because they're sitting up on $1 billion of school clubs in our city of Bay Ridge. They have the money and they don't spend it on education. Something needs to happen to make them spend the money they have to educate our kids. They want to cut the class, bring the class back up to 72 or more students when it should be around 20.
Okay, Senator Taylor, go ahead. And I go ahead. The final word.
Yes, what I suggest, sir, is that maybe that's meeting number two to talk education in our community and what that means and what that looks like.
Okay, thank you.
How are you?